Welcome to Watching Bloomington, brought to you by Buccetto's Pizza Pasta, with your host, Barry Lusso. Each week, B97 and Hoosier Country bring you stories about nonprofit agencies helping people in our area. Stay informed, stay involved, and stay tuned.
Welcome to Watching Bloomington, where each week we have a chance to talk with a community leader who helps make this a better place to live. And we're real pleased to have with us this morning Rebecca Warren. Rebecca is the director of the Monroe County Humane Association. Good morning, Rebecca.
Good morning, Denise.
So, could you fill in for folks, what does MCHA do?
MCHA is a local nonprofit. The Monroe County Humane Association is a private 501c3. We are funded by local donations and grants and just general in-kind opportunities and, of course, revenue that we make. We receive no tax subsidies. We've been around the community for 60 plus years now, and we're governed by a local board of directors. So we don't have anything to do with the ordinance enforcement for animal control or adoptions or stray. But we are a safety net of services for pet owners in the community. So the programs that we do offer are directly related to supporting pet owners of all walks of life in our community. So we offer a nonprofit veterinary clinic, a series of educational programs, therapy animals. We also have a food pantry on site for pets. And we also have emergency housing for animals that need temporary housing while owners are in a variety of situations, including fire, storm, COVID, quarantine, or domestic violence.
Mm-hmm. That's quite a range of things. And you mentioned with the emergency services. So talk a little bit more about how that works.
Sure. So the East Susan Bartlett Housing Center, it's emergency housing. So unforeseen circumstances where owners who have to leave or need to vacate their property and can't take their pets with them. We've really seen animals come through the program from a variety of reasons. And we offer short-term emergency housing and boarding. So that way owners aren't faced with immediate surrender. Mm-hmm. They do get a couple of days, a week or two, a buffer, mm-hmm. just to try and find somewhere else for that pet to go.
Mm-hmm. And that facility is relatively new, isn't it?
We've been here for 2 years in April. So it was an all brand new construction. We've got 6 acres on the far west side of Bloomington. Mm-hmm. We operate a nonprofit full service veterinary clinic and the emergency housing facility. On the grounds, we have up to a mile of walking trails that are open to the public from dawn to dusk. And this spring, we'll be finishing the construction on a pet memorial garden that's also open to the public.
Hmm. Nice. So talk a little bit more about the clinic then. So it's a nonprofit clinic, and who's eligible to come for veterinary services?
Absolutely anyone with dogs and cats. Mm-hmm. So we don't do any small animals, exotics, or large animal, but we are a dog and cat clinic that is open to the public. So anyone from any community, it doesn't matter if they're from Monroe County or not, we see animals from up to 4 hours away. Owners don't have to be income subsidized to come and see us. In fact, we rely on a certain percentage of our clients to be able to pay full service cost for their care of their animals. So for those owners that do qualify for subsidized rates, they can show us their food stamp card, Medicaid, any type of government mm-hmm. subsidy program, and that does automatically qualify them for reduced rate services. But we are open mm-hmm. to the public, and we love to see dogs and cats from anywhere.
Mm-hmm. The types of services now, is it a full service veterinary clinic, or do you do surgeries and things like that as well?
We do have a surgery suite. Our surgery services are limited just because we focus on seeing pets for appointments, but we do offer mm-hmm. spay neuter. We have done other types of surgery services, just kind of in the general wellness field, dentals and whatnot. We are not an emergency clinic, so we are not mm-hmm. here after hours. We try to see same day appointments as much as any other facility in town, but we are not an emergency clinic. It's an emergency veterinary medicine is an entirely different field mm-hmm. of medicine that really does require an entire additional tier of not only equipment, but staff, training, doctors, and just general around-the-clock facility care. We are not an emergency clinic.
Very well. And now you also mentioned a food pantry. So is that something that's supported through donations, or who does that serve?
Anyone. There are no limits right now on the food pantry. Just given COVID and the way that people have been in and out of work, we don't want to see any pet go hungry or any pet owner feel like they can't feed their pet, their dog or cat. So the dog and cat food is available. We also have litter, wet food for both dogs and cats available to anyone. It's not, again, not limited to just Monroe County. We do provide a lot of our food to other rescues or service organizations, just to make sure, again, that no pet is going to starve.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned too, and with the supplies there, those things that people donate from the community, or how do you get the supplies for the pantry, and do you look for donations from the community?
Always. We're always in need of donations from the community. And really, the food that comes into the food pantry does come directly from our community, and we turn around and give it right back and to people that need it. So it really is, we're just a middleman. People donate the food to us, and then we get it to where it needs to go, whether that be other service organizations, other rescues, other shelters, or people who can't afford to care for their pets and in the way that anyone else might be able to.
Any restrictions? So if, you know, listeners are thinking, oh, that'd be something I could do, you know, pick up some extra pet food when I'm there and bring it over to the food pantry. Are there certain types of cat and dog food you're looking for? Are you looking for dry or canned or anything in particular? Any restrictions?
We always need dry cat food. It is always what we run out of first. There are no limits. We have no preferred brands. We'll use open bags. So if you opened a bag of dry cat kibble and your cat is, like cats are, just a little bit picky, and they decided, no, I'm not going to eat that, then we'll take that open bag while you go back and get their preferred style. So we do take open bags. Dry cat food is always what we run out of first.
Okay, good to know. And then I'm imagining too, as a nonprofit, you probably rely on both pet food donations and probably financial donations as well.
Absolutely. As we have grown, we have seen more and more families not be able to afford their routine vet care. So we do oversee a couple of service programs and funds to allow us to provide that vet care. COVID has severely affected how we're able to fundraise. We have missed 2 years of two of our major fundraisers, which equates to about a third of our fundraising budget. So without those resources, the last 2 years, we are getting by. So we're really relying on our community to step up their financial contributions. The easiest way to do that for us is just set a monthly gift with us, and just $5 a month, it goes a long way. We really make those donations go further. And as a local community nonprofit, just like the pet food, we're turning that right around and keeping all of those donated dollars right here in our community.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. And if folks want to donate, best way, website, or?
They can definitely go to the website. It's monroehumane.org. They can also Venmo donations if they'd like. Mm-hmm. Or we're also happy to send them a subscription opportunity to do that, that monthly gift.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Very good. Now, when you mentioned in COVID and pandemic and people going back to work, you know, there's a lot of publicity about pets and, you know, pet transitions. And can you talk about that a little bit? Are you finding that to be an issue?
100% it's an issue. COVID puppies are a real thing. It's not fictitious. We saw a lot of people adopt animals as soon as they were sent to work from home, which is fantastic. We love to see animals going home and families taking on new pets. But now places are going back to work, and people are realizing, I now have to leave this maybe 12-month, 18-month, 6-month-old dog or new kitten home by themselves. And this animal has never been alone before. Slow, positive transitions. Kenneling your pet is absolutely fine. Make their kennel, if it's a dog, obviously, a happy, pleasant place, giving them lots of comfort. A busy Kong or busy treats, all are wonderful ways. And also just making sure that your pet gets the right amount of exercise. For those pets or those dogs that have never been to a veterinary clinic, or they've never been to Rural King, or they've never been to the park, slow, positive interactions out mm-hmm. in the community are the best way to do that. Just going for car rides, making sure you've got lots of treats, and just making it a good experience. Mm-hmm. And just having good interactions with people. If they've got cats, again, make sure they've got lots of treats, lots of catnip, and just kind of set that routine, even if you mm-hmm. can, before you go back to work. Mm-hmm. That way they get used to being alone.
Mm-hmm. Good suggestions. And you know, the weather, of course, the last few days has gotten finally more seasonal. We were kind of not used to that for a little bit here. But any suggestions? I know that's always, you know, especially pets that are outdoors a lot, you know, the temperature's dropping that low. Any suggestions for pet owners?
Winter has definitely hit Indiana. Mm-hmm. One thing you can do is make sure that you're using a paw-friendly or pet-friendly salt on your sidewalks or on your porches. Mm-hmm. If they are walking in the street and you notice that there is a salt and you notice that they're licking their paw pads more or their paw pads are irritated, you can wipe that off as soon as they get inside and just make sure that they're not over grooming that area. And just like you or I, pets can get too cold outside. So making sure that they have access to fresh water, they are going to be thirstier this time of year. Making sure that they are coming inside. If they do have pets that are left outside, straw is preferred over blankets or towels because it does retain heat and it doesn't hold moisture. So if you're doing something like an outside kitty condo for outside cats, make sure you stuff that with straw instead of blankets or towels.
Mm-hmm. And any particular temperature range, you know, if people are wondering, was it okay to leave a pet outside in a certain temperature? What would you suggest for that?
It all depends on the pet. You're going to have Huskies or Burmese Mountain Dogs or St. Bernards who just won't come inside. Newfoundland, they're not going to come inside. They love this weather. They're made for this weather. But your smaller breeds or your breeds that aren't maybe built for this kind of weather, they're going to want to be inside on the couch right next mm-hmm. to you. So it is going to be just dependent on your pet mm-hmm. and what their comfort level is. And that just comes from knowing your pet. And in the worst case, make sure there's access to fresh water outside. And again, that they have a shelter that's filled with straw. So they do have ways to get out of those elements if they need to.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Now, along with real cats and dogs, you also have a different kind of clinic, don't you? You have your stuffy clinic.
We have our very own Tech McStuffins here. So one thing that pets can unfortunately be known for, dogs specifically, is they love to shred stuffed animals, which is not good. Obviously, it's known for creating flatties. But if you have a favorite beloved stuffy that happens to fall victim to your dog, we do have a program here where we let children come in and meet with our one of our registered veterinary technicians. She's our Tech McStuffins. And we'll take that stuffy in. We'll go over the repairs that it needs. So we've done a couple of eye patches and changed a couple of eyes and just put stuffing back in, sewn things back together. And for us, it really kind of sets the groundwork very early at building better pet owners for the long run. It's a favorite stuffed animal. You fix it and you keep it. You start that relationship. Your stuffy is injured. You take it to a veterinary clinic. Mm-hmm. So for us, it's really about education and outreach and working with young pet owners. So, you know, mm-hmm. 20 years from now, when their dog needs a repair, needs a stitch, they know, oh, we're just going to the vet because that's what we do.
Mm-hmm. And I'm imagining you see a variety of stuffed animal breeds that way.
We do. We've seen a stuffed turtle. That's probably been one of our favorites. And that turtle did lose an eye. So we did replace both eyes. We got an organ, a donor stuffy to give us a couple of eyes to repair that. So it's been a fun program
for us. So
you're getting
into some pretty fancy stuff.
Yes. Well, and one of our technicians, Colleen, oversees this program. And in her words, I was made for this. So she really loves what she's doing. And it's just a fun way to work with children, with animals. Mm-hmm. And again, it just sets the right groundwork for being better pet owners in the future.
Mm-hmm. That sounds excellent. And if children and their families are in need of such services, how do they schedule an appointment?
Give us a call at 812-333-6242. And then they can get a Steffi appointment online at monroehumane.org.
Very nice. Excellent. And is there a charge for a Steffi visit?
It's just a $20 donation. We take in your Steffi, we patch it up, and we give it right back.
Wonderful. And that helps the organization, which is great.
It does.
So you have some events coming up as well.
We're trying. Events are so fluid as we try to respond appropriately and safely. But we do really miss being involved in the public and working with the community. So right now we're in the season of getting ready for Send a Snuggle, which will happen on Friday, February 18th. Those reservations will be available soon. We've got a couple of dine and donates. We love working with our local restaurant community. We know they're struggling just like nonprofits are. So anywhere we can work together with our local community, it helps both of us. So on January 19th, which will be this past Wednesday, by the time this airs, we're doing a dine and donate with Mother Base. Next month, we're doing one on February 14th at Red Robin. So, you know, if you're headed out for Valentine's Day for that romantic dinner to Red Robin, just make sure you mention MCHA and we'll get a portion of that dinner as well.
Wonderful. Now, a lot of organizations are starting to have volunteers, you know, back and helping out. And what's the situation with MCHA? Are you, you know, having volunteers back again? Are you looking for volunteers currently?
We are. So we're looking for volunteers that can actually help us in the afternoons at the clinic. It's sweeping, mopping, laundry. Because most of the animals we see are owned and they have families, and some of them maybe don't want to see us, so they need a bit of a bigger hug than others. We don't always let volunteers handle some of the animals that we see, but we do love the extra hands just to be able to help us keep the facility clean and running smoothly. So they'd be working in the pantry, doing laundry, sorting. When we do have animals that are ready for snuggle, you know, we've been known to throw x-ray gowns on volunteers and say, hey, help us do this. So it's definitely a great learning opportunity for anyone who has that interest in veterinary science.
Wonderful. And if someone's interested, is there an application procedure? How does that part work?
They can go to that website, monroehumane.org, and they can click volunteer and they can send us an application and we'll reach back out and figure out where they're going to be and how we can best utilize their skills.
Wonderful. And Rebecca, what are you looking forward to? This is the beginning of a new year. What are you hoping to see in the next few months for your organization?
Oh, for COVID to go away. Who isn't looking for that? But really, we love what we're doing here at the clinic. We love the number of families and pets that we're getting to help. We're excited to get back to some educational opportunities and just really get back to working in our community. 6 foot apart doesn't seem like that far until you've been 6 foot apart from everyone for going on 2 years now. So that's really what we miss the most.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for sharing all that wonderful information, and look forward to having community folks get more involved and come to the Steffi and the Real Clinic, and hopefully you'll get some volunteers and donations.
Absolutely. We depend on our community and we're just the middleman. We'll take those donations of financial contributions, your monthly gift, or, you know, your open bag of cat food, and we'll turn it right back around and put it to work in our community.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, Rebecca. Really appreciate everything you do for the animals in our community.
Thank you, Denise. It's been wonderful for the Monroe County Humane Association. We appreciate the opportunity to share what we do.
Yeah. Well, this has been another edition of Watching Bloomington, and we'll see you again next week.
You've been listening to Watching Bloomington with Barry Lesso, brought to you by Buccetto's Pizza Pasta. For pizzas, calzones, Italian chicken dinners, and more than 50 gluten-free dishes, as well as vegan options. Visit them for dine-in or carry-out at East 3rd Street or next to Starbucks on West 3rd Street in front of Kroger. Order online at Buccetto's.com.